Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, January 23rd, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 56, the fourth paragraph. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, ending God had restored his sanity. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph for today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R. Readers of the text, Gail K., Becca R., and Jody E. The reference number for Sunday, January 22nd, is 19,876. That's 19876. And for this morning, Monday, January 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,877. That's 19877. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Mo H., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone, especially to the newcomers. And Dawn, thank you for your service. My name is Joanne L. from Rhode Island and recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much. I pass.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joanne L. I'll now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for your service, Dawn. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personality. Thank you for the opportunity to do service today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 56, the fourth paragraph. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place, ending, God had restored his sanity, reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Gail K. to begin reading.
Hi, everyone. This is Gail K., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Laguna Hills, California. And thank you, Don, for your service and everyone who's doing service at this meeting. And I want to extend a special welcome to newcomers and relapsers, because if you're a relapser, you're a newcomer. At least that's what worked for me. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. No later vicissitude has shaken it. His alcoholic problem was taken away. That very night, years ago, it disappeared. Save for a few brief moments of temptation, the thought of drink has never returned. And at such times, a great revulsion has risen up in him. Seemingly, he could not drink even if he would. God had restored his sanity. And oh boy, when I was reading this, rereading it again this morning, I was just blown away. There's so much in this paragraph. Our friend's cornerstone was fixed in place, and I said to myself, okay, what's cornerstone? And I had to look at the paragraph just above the last sentence. It said that he lived in conscious companionship with his Creator. And indeed, that's the cornerstone of recovery for me today, is conscious companionship. And that just means a companion is someone who's like by your side all the time. So taking my higher power through the day with me every day into every situation, every food decision, every human, every decision that I make, taking my higher power with me. And it says, no later vicissitude has shaken it. Just give me a minute here. The cornerstone of my recovery was the clarity that I could not stop abusing myself, abusing food on my own, that I did need something that was beyond human aid. And that's the cornerstone. So on that place of complete defeat is the place wherein my cornerstone is laid. That's when I said, okay, I'm willing to reach out to something that I don't know what it is. I'm willing to reach out to something beyond myself for help. And that something beyond myself was the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, was getting a sponsor, following the directions, taking the actions of the steps, which brought me into conscious contact with a power greater than myself. And that conscious contact and now companionship is what keeps me entirely abstinent one day at a time. It says here, God had restored his sanity. And if someone, sane people are not self-destructive. Sane people don't eat food that makes them sick. And so that whole point, that's in step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves would restore us to sanity. So I hang on to that. And every day, if I get a thought about food, there's a sane thought that comes in faster than the first thought that tells me, no, Gail, that's not a good idea. And that happens one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, as long as I stay in conscious companionship with a power greater than myself that's doing for me what I could never do for myself and never will be able to do for myself. And I'm just eternally grateful for recovery and for the restoration of my sanity. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Gail K. Really appreciate that. We will now start to take some names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Donna B.
Pine Tree.
Donna B. Elaine G.
Becca R.
Becca R.
Penny C.
Penny C.
Tom L.
Tom L. Okay, let's stop there. I have Donna B., Elaine G., Becca R., Penny C., Tom L. Donna B., please start and share with us, please.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. And I'm really moved to share on my personal experience regarding those brief moments of temptation. I have been entirely abstinent from my alcoholic food ingredients and alcoholic food behaviors, including volume eating on foods that are permissible for me in regards to my food plan. And for over 4.5 years now, which I'm very grateful for. And when I first put down the volume eating, every night between 8 and 10 p.m., I was overwhelmed with a desire to volume eat. And I would make phone calls and send text messages and send SOSs on message boards. And I was completely transparent with my desire to volume eat. And I would pray, God, please relieve me of the obsession with food. And it did pass. But the amazing thing is that with time, the frequency and the intensity and the length of that longing to just stuff myself, to just fill myself, got better. And I can honestly say that today, as a result of working all the 12 steps on a daily basis, doing inventory every day, prayer and meditation every day, working with sponsees on a regular basis, even that thought, I would like to volume eat, has been lifted. Almost entirely, almost in a way where I can't help but be in awe. I, for many years, said, I don't have an experience of the desire to stuff myself being entirely gone, but through the tools and the steps, I'm able to live and navigate through those moments as difficult as they are. And now I can look back and be like, whoa, what happened? Those temptations don't arise very often at all. And I'm so, so deeply grateful for that. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna B. Elaine G., please share with us, followed by Becca R.
I just want to say that, you know, today I'm going for this, and this is a lot to do with what we read, going for a CAT scan, and I can't eat or drink for 6 hours, so I got up at 5:30, and I asked God to help me eat my breakfast and nothing more, and help me prepare for this day, that when if I get this CAT scan, that I don't compulsively eat. So I'm going to bring a fruit with me, which I have in the microwave there, and water. So when I get to the restaurant to eat my lunch, I won't compulsively eat. How do I learn all this? From the program, and I ask God to help me to prepare. If it wasn't for God, forget it. If I didn't ask God to give me the willingness to do this, I thought last night, I'm not going to be able to do this. 6 hours of no eating and drinking, oh my, But I'm doing all right. I'm keeping busy. I woke up this morning at 5:30, ate my breakfast, went in the shower, did my prayers and meditations, in the meeting now. And like I said, if it wasn't for God, it wasn't for the program, I wouldn't even be able to do this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. Becca R., please share with us, followed by Penny C.
Hey, good morning. It's Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, calling in from Kentucky. When I heard the paragraph, I thought of my own cornerstone, and I really think that it has to be, for me, step one of that powerlessness. Because as a recovered person in a normal body size, that's how my disease speaks to me. Today's my daughter's birthday, and I was making a treat. And I thought, how peculiar to be in all of these old trigger foods and feel completely and absolutely neutral. But my disease doesn't speak to me in those terms anymore. It's so cunning and baffling. It comes through those very subtle and sneaky ways of saying maybe more of your abstinent food won't hurt, or you're in a normal body size now. You can skip this, or it comes in so many different facets. So for me, it's just knowing that I'm powerless still in my recovered body and mind. And for me to stay connected to my step one is so important, to be present on meetings, to be around fellows who can also share with me our common bond of illness and treatment and sponsorship to remember taking a fellow through step one, through all the steps, but just to remember what it was like when I came crawling back to OA, living in this amazing life that I had prayed and prayed for. And I was so caught up in the food that I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't see it. And so I'm just really grateful for that knowledge today, that I am powerless, but there is one who has all power. And I found that one through working the steps. I've created a relationship with a higher power that I turn my will and my life over to every day and trust that I'm going to be safe and protected because I saw it in you guys. I saw my fellows. And that higher power has demonstrated a wholesale miracle in my own life. So that's all I have. I'm grateful to be here. Pass.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Penny C., followed by Tom L.
Good morning. Thank you so much. I'm Penny C. I'm grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, living in the Boston area. Wow. You know, I have been studying this book, and I probably, without exaggeration, have read these pages 100 times, maybe more. And it's never been my favorite chapter. I think it's always been a very powerful chapter, but I think it's winning out as my favorite. It's amazing to me that after all these years and all these readings, that this time, for some reason, this chapter is just coming alive to me. When it says, you know, he lived in conscious contact with his creator and his cornerstone was fixed in place. And I go to that very night years ago. Well, that very night years ago is over 3.5 decades ago. And it was just such a miracle when I heard the word disease and when I heard this is a spiritual program. And very, very soon I came to understand that all my religious training and education and years of religious school only taught me the rules, the laws, and boy, I followed them. But conscious contact with the higher power was unknown to me. And right away that night, I felt like a new person leaving that first meeting. And then it talks about here, no late of vicissitude. Isn't that a great word? I love it. And you know, that's a circumstance that's usually unpleasant that comes upon us. Well, during this program, I've lost both my parents, my sister who was in both 12-step programs with me. I've had breast cancer. I've had very serious back surgery. And no, none of these circumstances have shaken my belief and my trust in a higher power. In fact, every one of them has increased my conviction that I have a higher power who has restored me to sanity, because all I have to do is think of one incident before OA. There were many, many, but all I need to do is recall one or two, and I know that I, especially around eating, I was insane. I was insane the way I yelled at my kids and the way I gossiped, and thank God for this program. We are so blessed. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny C. Tom L., please share with us, and then I'll be taking some more names after Tom shares. And I just a quick reminder.
Don, press star one, please.
Yes, very good. Well, Tom L. is going to be sharing with us now. And just a quick reminder, we're on page 56, the fourth paragraph. Thus was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. So, Tom L., please share with us.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Dawn. Thank you for everybody putting on this amazing program that makes my drive to work uplifting. Yeah, it's changed my perspective on the mornings. I also want to I feel for Elaine preparing for something that for compulsive overeaters is very difficult, which is changing not eating. Went through a colonoscopy about a year ago. It's torment for someone who is food obsessed. So there is a God that can get us through even these things. This gentleman, I'm glad they put him at this part of the book, because if you put it earlier, it would almost be like, you know, promising too much. You know, no later vicissitude. He was, he recoiled, from the very thought of drinking beverage alcohol. To an overeater like me, it's like, not true. I cannot imagine a world where I would recoil from the thought of stuffing myself with some abstinent food that I could justify in some way. But they didn't. They put it in this part of the book because earlier in the book, and I've been reading Ebby with greater interest. Ebby doesn't get a lot of lines in this book, but he gets some great ones. And the part that struck me regarding this one is, faith without works was dead, he said. And how appallingly true for the alcoholic. For if an alcoholic failed to perfect and enlarge his spiritual life, yuck, through work and self-sacrifice for others, he could not survive the certain trials and low spots ahead. They're very different from what this guy is doing, where he is just like gliding through like Teflon. Not a problem. Alcohol is completely removed for him. But it's not, of course, telling you about how that is coming about. That he is thinking about other alcoholics a lot. And he is going out of his way. He is going down to the jails when he'd rather be asleep. He is working with people like Bill W., who it probably was not comfortable to work with. The guy was, just insane about helping other people. So, yes, if given all that, I will be impervious to the thought that an extra ounce of broccoli doesn't have to be told to anybody. That how could it hurt? And I've recently have to remove some vegetables out of my plate because, too much went on. The scale went, whoa, this is not what I called in. Very painful. Or going through medical procedures. Anyway, that's what I have today. I'm very glad to be with people as sick as I am who have found this common solution. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tom L., for sharing with us. And now I'm going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph, although we value your experience. We ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us
Agnes
this morning?
Agnes A. from California.
Agnes A. Was that, what was the first name?
Paula B. Canada.
Very good. Thank you. Agnes A., Paula B., who else would like to share?
Marion F.
Gail F.
Was that Marion?
Yes.
Okay.
Meg W.
And there was somebody L.
Darian K.
Darian K.
Meg W.
Gail.
And Gail, what's your initial, Gail?
S, like in Frank.
Oh, very good. Okay, so I have Marion, Darian K., Meg W., and Gail F. So, Marion, please start us off. Give us your initial, and if you'd like, where you're calling from, followed by Darian K.
Did you forget Agnes A.?
Oh, Agnes A. All right, Agnes.
Thank you.
And Paula B.
Oh, right. Okay, so hold on here. I'm sorry. So Agnes A. is going to start us off. I apologize for that mix-up. Agnes A. is going to start us off, followed by Paula B., Marion, Darian K., Meg W., Gail F., and there was another name in there. and who was that name that I dismissed? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Agnes A., please start us off, followed by Paula B. from Canada. Agnes.
Hi, I'm Agnes A. I guess I'm new to the program again, you know, coming out of relapse, and I'm just glad to be here. I, too, listen to this meeting every morning on my drive to work. It just sets the tone for the day, makes it all upbeat. So, thoughts was our friend's cornerstone fixed in place. I knew I was wallowing out there for 18 months. I just couldn't string together 1 week of abstinence, you know, to kind of launch myself back. I guess I was trying to do it myself and with my diets and whatever else, while the rest of my life was getting out of control. And, you know, of course, God is always running after us, after me. And so when I was at the bottom or nearing another bottom, you know, people were like, go to a meeting, do this, do that. No sooner did I surrender and say, God, please, I can't do this. You know, take my hand. Let me do it right this time. Let me not make it a diet. Let me walk through the steps. Let me have this close contact every day. And my goodness, 43 days without sugar or flour and a number of other stuff, you know, before I would go to the grocery store, and it'd be like there were certain aisles calling me, right? It was always resistance. I heard people say, if you don't buy it at the grocery store, then that's one time you say no. You don't bring it to your house and every day be confronted with this, that, and the other. You know, but now when I go, I know what I'm going to get. I pray to God and I say, help me with my choices, right? And when I pass that cookie aisle, it's like the thought doesn't occur to me. I work in school and I don't have to, but I keep some stuff for kids. And it never occurs to me because I turn it over to God every day and my hand is in His that this is meant for me. Now I'm evolving to a point where I'm saying if it's poison for me, I probably shouldn't reward kids with it anyway, you know, just because they did right. But this paragraph just says to me that every day I do the steps. I walk the steps with my sponsor, who is badass, right? But out of love, I know that today, if I do what I did yesterday, today will also be a good day. Because God walks alongside and does for me what I can do for myself. Not just with food, but with life. Thank you. With that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Agnes A. Paula B., please share with us, followed by Marion and then Darian K. Go ahead, Paula B. Press star one.
Thank you, Dawn, for your lead, the readers, and those who make this line possible. This is my first time sharing. I'm Paula B., a compulsive emotional binge eater and sugar addict in British Columbia, Canada. My understanding of this paragraph, or the cornerstone, is considered part of the triumphant arch, as mentioned in page 62, I think it is, and that it's step two and the hope we have if we work the program and have a higher power and a spiritual experience. Today the food problem can and will be taken away from me when I believe in a power greater than myself and turning my will and my life over to the care of God of my own understanding. And I know when I let my higher power drive the bus, there is no desire for food, and for that, I am grateful. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Paula, from Canada. Marion, please share with us, followed by Darian K. Press star one, Marion.
I apologize. I had unmuted earlier, and I thought I was still unmuted, and I wasn't. So, hi, everyone. My name is Marion F. In Missouri, and I was in OA in 2009, and I think 2010. I can't remember exactly when I stopped. This is my second vision meeting and my maybe fifth or sixth OA meeting, you know, since then, since 2010. And I have had that experience of not wanting to compulsively eat anymore. I've had the experience of it being completely removed, and just, I heard someone say in awe that that happened, and that was exactly how I felt. I had that for 4 years. Four or five years I had that where I, compulsive eating just was not an issue. It was as if it had been lifted, and I was so grateful and so happy. And I've had a lot of trouble coming back to OA because I had that experience without being in OA. and I had a different way of getting there. And for the last year and a half, I have been so lost because unfortunately I had a very abusive situation with someone who required me to be very skinny, and that's a whole other story I don't want to get into now, but when I finally got out of that situation and had been really, really under eating for a few years, after that, I just have been right back in the food, and I know some of that is because of when we starve ourselves, our body wants us to, as a survival mechanism, you know, we eat. But obviously, this is, for me, more than just that, because it's been over a year and a half, and I'm still in the food, and I'm still gaining weight. And I hope that there are sponsors out there who could work with me, because I don't fully follow, agree with everything in a way, and I'm so sorry. I feel really funny saying that. I don't want to offend anyone, but I also know there's a lot of value in OA, and I want the serenity and the spiritual awakening, and I've been feeling better since I've been listening in on meetings. I've been feeling more connected to my higher self, and I want that again. And I remember when I did do OA, I was eating much healthier. So but I hope I can find someone who's willing to work with me and help me apply this program. And even if I'm sorry, I'm not quite sure how to say this, but even if I don't subscribe to everything, because when I did have recovery in the past, it wasn't in OA, and it was with intuitive eating, and it was healing emotional and spiritual issues. So it's just been really hard for me to come back to OA because I didn't know if there would be help for me, if that's how I feel. So I hope I'm making sense. But I do really feel relief being on these meetings where I don't feel like I'm a total crazy person, and I hear other people describe behaviors that I do, and it's been really healing, and I'm really grateful to be here. So I want what the paragraph said of just it being removed, and I know that that's possible. Thank you. And so I hope there is help for me. Thank you. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you,
again,
Marion.
Marion in Missouri. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Darian K., please share with us, followed by Meg W.
Oh, good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. Good morning. This is Darian Kay in the Berkshires in Massachusetts, recovered compulsive overeater, and very grateful to be with all of you this morning on a snow day. So I'm just relaxing in my chair, listening to all these beautiful shares. And, you know, I looked up the word cornerstone. It's really cool because, you know, I work in the schools. I work in speech pathology. And so we work with vocabulary a lot with the kids. And we have some, I mean, kids that need that, and we have them looking up words. It's called semantic mapping. We have them looking up words that they don't know or they're unfamiliar with so that they can comprehend what they're reading. And that's exactly what we do here. It's so awesome. So I did that. I'm like looking up words and I'm like, oh, this is what the kids do. This is so cool. So I looked up the word cornerstone, and you know, it was just so enlightening to see the definition of cornerstone and the synonyms that go along with it. You know, the foundation, the bedrock. Some of it's like the heart, the backbone. Like, so I just, and then, you know, also, of course, like in construction, you know, it's the place where two walls meet. And I feel like when I get up in the morning and I pray to God to keep me abstinent for one more day and to guide me through this day, I'm placing that peace, that solid peace, in the middle between me and the world, so that I'm not separated, if that makes sense. I'm stuck together with God being the center, and then the world and me kind of going out and taking on life, you know, every morning. And that's what I have to do. I have to do that. And I have to make sure that I remember that I am, you know, I need that solid foundation so that I can, you know, live life. Because life, like it says, you know, can be shaken, right? There's things that shake us up if we're actually living in the world and not hiding under the covers, which I would much rather do on certain days. But, you know, when I'm living life and I'm out there and things are happening, whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter. You know, my solid foundation can just stay in place and not be shaken. Because I have seen, especially in hindsight, how wonderful God has carried me through, you know, every situation in my life. You know, having been in program for 36 years, you go through an awful lot of life situations. And, you know, I'll wrap up. You know, I'm just so grateful that I can look back and see how I've been carried and that God has restored me to sanity. And that this is a great miracle for me and so many of us. Just so grateful to be here with all of you. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. from Massachusetts. Meg W., please share with us, followed by Gail F.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. My name is Meg W. I am a compulsive overeater. I typically live in New Jersey, but I'm in Arizona right now. So a couple things that I really liked about this particular paragraph. So I also had to look up a word. So vicissitude was not a word that I'm familiar with, even though I read this before. I just kind of skimmed over it. Like, oh, okay, I can kind of gather what that means. But so this was our, okay, no later vicissitude has shaken it. So when I looked up vicissitude, and everybody else may already know this, but it means a change of circumstances or fortune, typically one that is unwelcome or pleasant. And for me, eating was a coping, was how I coped, how I, you know, survived, how I not even coped, just how I lived, like how I handled things. The food was like my constant source of safety. And it's interesting because like the example that they give is like in context is like the vicissitude of the seasons, so the change of seasons. And for me, it could be the change of like anything, you know, the change of seasons, the change of temperature, the change of, you know, my hair color, right? It's like no matter what. In the past, those vicissitudes were, you know, what I ate. And now I have a lot of resources and tools so that I don't have to eat in those, with those changes, whether it be, you know, you guys, you understand. All right, you know. And I also really like that, so I guess now what I wanted to say about that is like what I like is that it said it's like in the past tense. So like it's not like, oh, it's never going to happen again. It's just because for me, what's really helpful and where I can see my higher power is like looking back. So no later vicissitude has shaken his cornerstone that was fixed in place. And so for me, what's really helpful is like when I look back at certain situations, you know, that used to baffle me that I was able to get through. I wasn't shaken. I was able to remain abstinent. I was able to get through that situation without relying on food to get me through that. And so for me, that's like, sometimes it's hard to see my higher power like in the right now, like, okay, well, no, this time is different. But when I look back and I say, oh, okay, you know, look at, you know, I have all of these different references in my life that worked out just fine, actually really well, better than I could have ever imagined. You know, that for me makes me feel connected to my higher power. And I think it's awesome that they say, you know, save for a few brief moments of temptation. Because sometimes I'm like, oh, that would be fantastic. I'll smell something and I'm like, ooh. And I guess where like the sanity that's been restored is like I can think it through. Like, okay, that did not help me. that never made me feel better, feel more connected to my higher power, feel more peaceful when I engaged in that, you know, behavior. So anyway, thanks for letting me share and hope everyone has a great day.
Thank you, Meg W. Gail F., please share with us. And you have like a 2-minute share.
Hi, my name is Gail. I'm a compulsive reader. And I wanted to thank everybody. You know, I joined OA, I'd say 40 years ago in New York, in Queens. I'm calling from New Jersey now. I retired to here a year ago. And it's so funny because I'm retired now and I'm thinking, did I speak 3 days ago? Because I don't work. I'm like, I don't know. Did I speak 3 days ago? Was that 2 days ago? I lose track of my days. But I joined there and the thing about, and I hadn't been to a meeting in a long time. And about 8 months ago, a friend of mine who's in AA with me gave me a Grace Sheet phone bridge number, which I didn't even know that there were OA phone bridges. So I've been just calling into the Grace Sheet meetings, although I feel like because I'm an OA person, I'm not welcome to share there. And so anyway, and then I found this number. I found this. So I've been really connecting. And I remember years ago when I was having a problem with food and I called someone and they said, Gail, you have to connect. And, I don't know some of the reasons why I or we would compulsively overeat. I'm sure there's like studies about the brain and whatever. And they probably don't know enough, but I think they do know that this is the solution. To connect, to be with one another, to support one another, just to be with people who understand. And as far as like being restored to sanity, I always have to laugh at that, I think. Anyway, I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Gail F. from New Jersey. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Becca R. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Star one, Becca.
Sorry, I've got off guard a little bit. Just 1 second. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.